From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Diane Majapinto. The weekend scorcher saw temperature records melting in cities across Utah yesterday. In Salt Lake City, it got up to 105 degrees, setting a new mark for August 2nd, exceeding the 1993 record by 2 degrees. 13 cities from Ogden to Spanish Fork set or tied new marks for their hottest day. The National Weather Service says a break from the heat should arrive by midweek. Utah state health officials reported almost 1,000 new cases of COVID-19 over the weekend, bringing the state's total to more than 41,000. The last week has brought an average 447 new cases per day. The positivity rate has remained around 10%. The state health department also reported this weekend that 7 more people have died from COVID-19. The mortality rate for the 7-day period is the highest since the outbreak started, exceeding the previous high set the week prior. After failing to get additional funding for special education in Utah earlier this year, a state lawmaker is trying again. KUER's Sonia Hudson has more.
Right now, public schools in Utah get funding for special education based on how many kids attended the school 2 years beforehand. A bill from Republican State Representative Marsha Judkins introduced earlier this year would have changed that to 1 year ago. It received near unanimous support in both the House and Senate, but it would have cost the state nearly $10 million, and it wasn't included in the final budget passed in mid-March.
But what that tells us is that we are underfunding the special education students to the tune of $10 million.
Now, Judkins is trying again. She's asked attorneys for the legislature to redraft the bill for next year's general session that starts in January. But she says state tax revenues plummeting due to the coronavirus pandemic could make it even harder to get the bill across the finish line.
Whether it gets funded or not, I think it's important for legislators to know that we are not being as accurate in our special education funding as we should be.
Judkins says more education funding could also help with the state's teacher shortage. Sonia Hudson, KUER News.
During a march for justice in Cottonwood Heights yesterday, police used what appeared to be pepper spray and detained some protesters, according to videos posted on social media. One from Cottonwood Heights City Councilmember Tally Bruce shows people marching in a neighborhood. Police arrive, attempt to clear the road, and things escalate. She posted on Facebook that she would seek medical care after being punched and shoved by an officer. Cottonwood Heights police have not responded to KUER's request for comment. About 100 people gathered on the Utah State Capitol lawn Saturday for a silent majority unity rally. Fourth Congressional District candidate Burgess Owens was a featured speaker. James Sullivan helped organize the event and says the idea was to empower the, quote, silent majority to speak out against cancel culture and the far left.
Those people tend to stay silent so they don't receive backlash from the 2% that controls the country's narrative right now.
Sullivan says the dialogue surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement inspired the rally, and he's not opposed to it, but wants to discuss additional ways to empower the Black community beyond addressing just police brutality. Lawmakers on the Navajo Nation have approved a massive spending bill to respond to the coronavirus pandemic. The legislation includes money for water projects, power lines, broadband, and casino employees who no longer are receiving paychecks. The Navajo Nation Council passed the more than $650 million measure late Friday after discussing it over a 3-day special session. The money comes from the Navajo Nation's share of $8 billion in federal coronavirus relief funding that was set aside for tribes. Navajo President Jonathan Nez has 10 days to act on the bill once it reaches him. Federal leadership is cutting costs at the U.S. Postal Service in a way that could be backing up mail around the country. And now there are concerns about the effect that could have on the November election. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
Mail-in ballots could be affected in our region, but some votes would be affected more than others. For example, voters in Nevada will just have to post their ballot by Election Day, regardless of when it arrives. Utah also provides wiggle room. Ballots there need to be in the mail the day before Election Day and arrive at least 6 days after the election. The rest of the Mountain West requires that ballots make it back to the office by election night. Chad Houck is Chief Deputy Secretary of State in Idaho.
We certainly recommend that anyone not procrastinate in any way, shape, or form. There are so many variables that you just can't anticipate when you talk about these timelines of ballots moving back and forth.
The Postal Service recommends requesting your mail-in ballot at least 15 days before November 3rd and sending it in at least a week before that day. However, all ballots can still be hand-delivered to designated offices on voting day and still be counted. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
Utah automatically sends mail-in ballots to residents, but you need to send in any address change at least a week before Election Day. Ballots must be posted by November 2nd. I'm Diane Maggiapinto, KUER News.